gets back. But this is a small victory today.
She's a family friend of one of the hostages just released, but says his brother is still being held captive. CBS's Chris Livesay with more.
After nearly 500 days, three more hostages, including one Israeli-American, are home. Sasha Trufanov, a Russian Israeli, was the first to come out of a white van, followed by Sagi Dekel-Chen from Connecticut and Iyer Horn.
President Trump posted on Truth Social that they seem to be in good shape, and now Israel will have to decide what to do by noon today, adding the United States will back the decision they make. Hundreds of white South Africans gathered at the U.S. Embassy in Pretoria in a show of support for President Trump. They claim they're victims of racism by their own government.
Mr. Trump, thank you so much for noticing that and help making South Africa also great again.
The rally comes after Trump signed an executive order to cut U.S. financial assistance to South Africa. The Justice Department has been in turmoil this week over the corruption case of New York City Mayor Eric Adams. The DOJ wants those charges dropped so he can help the Trump administration and its immigration plan. Congressional correspondent Scott McFarlane on the fallout from several prosecutors.
One after another, those prosecutors have quit in protest, including an assistant U.S. attorney in New York who not only refused to drop the charges against Adams, but in a letter announcing his resignation said, "I expect you will eventually find someone who is enough of a fool or enough of a coward to file your motion, but it was never going to be me."
CBS's Willie James Inman with the latest mass layoffs for Fed workers.
The Trump administration is moving swiftly to reshape and downsize the federal government. Several federal agencies have started to lay off hundreds of employees who are under a probationary period.
Winter isn't ready to leave yet, says meteorologist John Elliott.
Winter weather advisories stretch from the plains into New England, risk of flooding, and then severe weather. Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, we're talking about tornadic activity and heavy rain as well.
Off to Rome now, where Pope Francis spent the night in the hospital after being admitted yesterday with a respiratory infection. The Vatican says he was up eating and reading this morning and doing well. This is CBS News.
If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Get the savings you want on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/choice55 and start saving today.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
National Institute on Retirement Security, 86% of Americans say all workers, including the private sector, should have a retirement plan that is more pension-driven. The group's Dan Doonan says retirement coverage is still too spotty for non-wealthy workers, leaving them on their own to put away savings.
In general, we're just asking way too much of individuals to get all this right, and saving during the middle years of your life to provide income throughout retirement, it really is a challenging endeavor.
He says the good news is that more states are setting up programs that enroll private sector workers in an IRA-style plan. The goal is to step in when a company can't or won't offer retirement perks. Experts say they're easy for states to operate and benefit small businesses because they don't have to contribute. But for the workers, the IRAs typically have lower contribution limits, meaning the retirement savings might not stretch as far. And just like state and local governments, Doonan says a more simplified network of retirement programs around the country can help companies in the private sector avoid staff turnover.
If they do move in that direction, I think what you'll see is more loyalty in return to the company. So there are some benefits for private employers, especially employers who value retention.
This is Mike Moen. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky with scattered flurries for today and a high in the upper 20s. Couple of snow showers tonight, mostly cloudy and colder, a low near 5, and a high only near 10 Sunday, early flurries then clearing. Much colder for the work week next week. Currently it's 17 degrees.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend's headlines and give a preview to the spring primary election on Tuesday. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Thursday, February 13th, 2025, jumping a day ahead. It is a great day, though, on this 13th to be a Wisconsinite. Downtown Madison, sunny skies. It is bright out. Wear the old sunglasses today. Much of Wisconsin, particularly kind of that lines we were talking about yesterday from Green Bay over to La Crosse, south and east of that, heaviest snows. Our listeners down there in southeast Wisconsin, some places, nearly 9 inches of snow. So the forecast was pretty on. Yeah, absolutely. And around here in Madison, I think around 3-ish, 3.5, maybe 4 some places. But then lesser amounts as you go north and west. But more snow coming on the way this weekend. I was listening to our friend Jay Matinair and Greg Bach on Matinair On Air this morning, which airs every day right before us. Always great to have their fantastic lead-in. They had one of the folks from the Birkenbeiner up there in beautiful Hayward on the show this morning. They are pleased as punch because, of course, last year we were up there and they did not have the snow nor the cold temperatures. And so they had to make a kind of a makeshift run up at the Birkenbeiner at the route around Cable. But now this year, the final leg of the race will be back downtown Hayward in Hayward, Wisconsin, for the American Birkenbeiner.
Well, thank goodness.
Absolutely. Very excited. And it's sounding like I hear now there are rumors that I have to bring out, I have to get the old Birkenbeiner jacket and sweater out. We may be going up to Hayward to do a little broadcasting from the Birkenbeiner next week.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. They're sprucing up, fluffing up the futon.
Are they now? I think you're going to be doing that yourself.
At the palatial WBZH studios up there.
No, I'm sure.
We took furniture up there last year. I mean,
Is it still there?
There was some there, and then we took and we built a little set. And I guess it's all still there.
Excellent.
It's
a very nice set that you built.
Well, thank you. I appreciate a little Olympiad type of set. So we're going up there. Chief Engineer Corey Hartman may be joining me as well. So you got the chief. What more do you want? So we'll be looking forward to that. Should be a good time had by all. Going to be a great time today. Really looking forward to this hour. An old friend of mine, longtime friend, Eve Galanter, is going to be here in hour number one in just a few minutes. She is a very accomplished individual. Among her many accomplishments, she is the founder of the Wisconsin Civics Games. It is a statewide competition for high school students, and it's a part of her work on the Wisconsin Association of Newspaper Foundation board. And she also happens to be where we first met was back in the day when we were both working in politics. She was running the Madison office for former U.S. Senator Herb Kohl, and I was working for my former boss, Scott Klug, in the U.S. House. At the time, you know, on opposite sides of the political aisle, but always found ways to work together on behalf of Wisconsinites. We'll talk a little bit about that. But more importantly, she is here in her new role today because this is timely, as we say, timely indeed. Mike Lucas, of course, the great sports reporter, coined the phrase. And because one of the things we hear all the time is, why don't young people know more civics? And if they knew more civics, maybe things would end up differently at the ballot box. So here's an individual, an Eve Galanter, not just talking about it, not just complaining, doing something about it. And this is something the Wisconsin Civics Games that is not partisan. It applies equally to everyone. And if you have a high school student in your life, you know of one, you're going to want to listen in because there's still time for them to be part of this year's Wisconsin Civics Games. So Eve's going to be here. We're also going to take your calls. So this will be fantastic. It'll be a great discussion. This is one of these hours that if you want to know why Todd got into radio, listen this hour.
Absolutely.
This is it. So looking forward to that. How are you, Mr. Sommers?
Doing pretty well. Stayed up late last night. One of my friends is starting a podcast, and I'm writing the music for it. And the publisher of the podcast is moving the release date sooner, so I had to stay up late and try and finish some stuff.
Wow, look at you. That's fantastic. Well, that's with you as a part of it, it can only be successful. So I wish them well. Very good. As we said, roads are still being cleaned up in some areas, particularly in southeast Wisconsin. So be careful out there. Yeah, don't just think, well, you know, it's all fine now. I can go back to driving normal speeds or closer together. No. Leave extra room today. So do that. So we got Eve Galanter in hour number one today, and then in hour number two, we're going to do a little what's worse again today. Looking forward to this one.
It's about things that are stinky.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. Things that are stinky. Go. I sound like Dick Clark in the $25,000 pyramid. These are things that are stinky. Things that are stinky. Coming up in hour number two. All right. First of all, I thought before we bring Eve on, get to a couple of headlines here nationally and around the state of Wisconsin. This morning, vaccine skeptic Robert Kennedy Jr. has been confirmed as the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services out in Washington, D.C. And we talked about this with Trigvi Olson, senior advisor on the Lincoln Project yesterday. Not so much about Kennedy specifically, but once again, we see a lack of thoughtfulness, any sort of political courage on the Republican side to stand up and say, look, there are a couple of lines here. The vote this morning was 52-48, largely along party lines, although Republican Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky once again joined with Democrats to oppose the nomination. McConnell has now voted against three of Trump's cabinet nominees, more than any other Republican senator. Look, I give Mitch McConnell a little bit of credit here. At least he's putting his name down on paper. And McConnell, I believe, was polio he had as a child. I saw the Leslie Stahl interview on 60 Minutes a week or two ago. You know, these formative things in our lives, later in life, they dictate how we view things. So McConnell is certainly in favor of vaccines. And, you know, he put his money where his mouth is today and voted against Kennedy. But at the end of the day, it wasn't a John McCain type of vote where it meant that Kennedy would not get confirmed. I wonder, you know, I was going to say I don't want to second guess McConnell, but I am. I wonder if they really needed his vote, if he would have had political courage to stick with that.
I don't think so, based on what we've seen. You know, he came out against Trump after January 6th, 2021, and then has kind of capitulated since then. And I feel like him voting against RFK Jr., given that he had polio as a kid, as far as I'm aware, you know, it means that instead of calling him spineless, I will say he has a toothpick for a spine.
Well, there you go.
That's my personal opinion.
The confirmation today, the vote that is, highlights the extent of Trump's influence over the Senate GOP majority as a slate of contentious nominees who face questions over whether they could be confirmed, including Kennedy, Pete Hegseth as defense secretary, and Tulsi Gabbard as director of national intelligence, have now all been approved by Senate Republicans for top administration posts. At some point, we need to see a true checks and balances here, whether it's in the United States Senate, whether it's in the court system. We've seen a little bit in lower courts. I believe that eventually some of these bigger things are going to get to the U.S. Supreme Court. And then we'll see if Trump adheres to it. We'll see if Trump adheres to the rule of law. Anyway, RFK Jr. in as Department of Health, and he would serve as secretary. This is great news, by the way, for people in Wisconsin who are sick and tired during the spring, summer, and fall of driving around and seeing dead deer everywhere. Because Secretary Kennedy now, he'll be going around picking that up for dinner.
You're right, he will. And then he'll just leave it in parks with bikes.
Right. If you have not heard before, Kennedy is famous. These are his own words. He's bragged about this recently on podcasts, like I think with Roseanne Barr and other places, where he likes to go around and pick up roadkill and then put it in his freezer. It's more than just a little bit odd in my estimation. So there you go. Also this morning, as far as national news headlines, President Donald Trump said he has talked with Russian President Vladimir Putin of Russia, saying that the two of them, Trump and Putin, are working on ending the Ukrainian war. Left out of said negotiations, the actual president of Ukraine, Vladimir Zelensky. He says that Ukraine will not accept any peace deal without his involvement. And good for him.
Yeah, why would they?
And, yeah. Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense, yesterday saying that the United States, he claims to speak on behalf of the United States, contrary to what the Bush administration, or the Biden administration and the last Congress said, which is that they would stand up for Ukraine, that they would not allow any sovereign territory taken over by Russia to fall into Russian hands. Hegseth walking that back and goes on to say that he would not support, the United States would not support Ukraine being a member of the United Nations. That is not only dangerous for Europe, as we've talked about in this program with Trygve Olsen, who's actually worked in Eastern Europe for democracy. It puts the United States at more risk. Again, the United States, part of NATO, an attack on one is an attack on all. So if Putin continues his march into Europe, that is only going to make it more difficult, more dangerous for Americans and American troops. Tony, watching on YouTube, says you need both sides to agree on a peace deal, right? Trump is the master deal maker. How did he miss that? Right. Well, we find out later, of course, that he did not actually write The Art of the Deal. His book was a ghostwriter. Let's go quickly to the phone lines, 855-752-4842. Mark in Pertisac. Mark, you got 1 minute. It's all yours. We'll see you.
Yeah, I certainly think you meant NATO rather than, because I think Ukraine's probably already a member of the United Nations, but he doesn't want to.
Yes, oh, NATO.
Yes.
NATO.
Sorry. Yes. Thank you.
NATO.
Thank you for catching me.
But for Robert Kennedy Jr., I'm just kind of waiting with kind of horror in my... What I'm thinking is what happens when bird flu hits in a few months here, that, you know, like COVID did, because I saw that hit and what happened there. And for each of these people that voted for, and the other horrors, you know, our national security threatened by Tulsi Gabbard and the other, you know, horrible of Trump's appointees, that when this stuff hits the fan, what are people going to say? Because when bird flu hits, it could easily take out a million people, just like COVID did. And we're going to be completely unprepared with Kennedy.
Appreciate the call, Mark. Up against the clock. Mark's right, particularly for our dairy herds in the state of Wisconsin. Eve Galanter is next, talking civics and students. Come on back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called a switcheroo. Talking about one thing while behind the scenes, there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom she'll be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 21 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon all across the state of Wisconsin, from Lake Michigan to Lake Superior, Green Bay to the Mississippi River, and all points in between. Glad to have you along on this Thursday, February 13th, 2025. As you said, 21 now past 12. Mr. Zommer's on the board. Going to take some more phone calls in a minute. I said at the top of the show, if you want to know why I got into radio as a high school kid, went to college for it, then had a long stint in politics and now honored to be back into it, this hour will tell you. Because this, I think, is the best example of what radio, community, state-focused radio does really well, is bring interesting guests in with issues that affect and connect with Wisconsinites all across the state. So honored to have someone that I've known a long time. She is the former director of the Wisconsin State Office here in Madison for former U.S. Senator Herb Cole. She also is the current founder of the Wisconsin Civics Games, a statewide competition for high school students, as part of her work with the Wisconsin Newspapers Association Foundation Board. Eve Galanter is here in the studio in downtown Madison. Eve, thanks for coming on.
Hey, and the sun is shining.
Right?
Perfect.
It really is. Well, have you just get just a little bit closer to the mic? I tell guests we kind of have to eat the mic, so to speak. So there you
there
go.
There we go.
See, that's fantastic.
All right. Look at Thank that. You.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm going to tell a little story, if you don't mind, just to start with.
Does it have a happy ending?
Of course it has a happy ending.
Okay.
So Eve and I have known each other quite a few years, and when we first met, we were on the opposite political aisle, we'll say. Eve was the director of Senator Cole's office here in Madison. I was working for, at the time, Congressman Scott Klug here in the 2nd District, moderate Republican. We don't have those anymore, but he actually was. And although our bosses were on different sides of the aisle, one of the things that I always admired, and Eve, you were known for in the Wisconsin congressional delegation, is your commitment to the constituents. And although that our bosses at times were on the opposite ways of voting in Congress, both our bosses and our staffs worked together when it came for things like passports, when it came for Social Security payments. And I so appreciate that about you. And I handled a lot of immigration issues at the time for Congressman Klug, and you handled a lot of immigration for Senator Cole. And I'll never forget, we were at a meeting at the immigration office in Milwaukee. The director's name at the time was Roger Lindo. And he stood up and he said, you know, we could do a lot more, but we need funding, and we don't have the funding in Congress for these positions. And Eve stood up and she said, I don't care that we're not all from the same party or not. We all have to go back to our bosses and tell them this to help the people of Wisconsin. And we did, and our two bosses stood up. Unfortunately, you know, leadership things didn't quite work out to get that funding, but I'll never forget that. And that, to me, is the epitome of what a public servant should be. And a lot of people in Wisconsin don't know that about you, Eve, and I think they need to.
Wow. Oh, it did have a sort of happy ending. We got to meet each other and work together, and it meets one of my two goals, which is civic engagement and civil engagement. And that's what we were exemplifying at that time.
Yeah, well said, and it's just great to kind of reconnect here. Start telling. We have a break here at the bottom of the hour. We're going to have Eve for the whole rest of the hour, and your chance to call in, ask questions as well. But Eve, tell us a little bit about this latest project. You founded the Wisconsin Civics Games, this statewide competition for high school students. Tell us how you came to help found this organization.
Well, on a yellowed piece of paper that only Todd can see here from 2016, and there was a headline, All Three School Board Incumbents Running Unopposed.
Mm, yeah.
That's a terrible headline. Mm-hmm. That means there will be no community conversation, Now, that was 9 years ago, but it struck me as someone very committed to public service, having served on the Madison City Council for about 8 years, leaving to go to work for Senator Cole, the whole concept of public service. But how could we have a conversation about what's going on our school boards that has to do with our kids, our teachers, if there's no opposition, if there are no candidates running to oppose those who were on the school board already at that time? And maybe they were doing a fabulous job, and that's why nobody wanted to run against them. Or maybe there was something about the commitment in terms of time and energy and what it's like to be a public servant, as you and I were. I was struck and then by that, and I went to the folks at the Wisconsin Counties Association and the League of Wisconsin Municipalities with whom I'd worked and said, is there something we can do about this? No, I'm not trying to find people to necessarily to run against your current county board or city council members, but we've got to have community conversations. And if people can't make that commitment, we all lose, I think, because we don't have any way to provide general input. And they said, well, it's a good idea. Get us a little more information. Let's talk about it. And I did. I stuck with it. A couple of years later, after talking with a lot of people about it, the State Journal, I do read the newspaper and listen to the radio all the time, published all of the folks who were running in Dane County for local elected office, school boards, county boards, town boards. In all of those communities, only two incumbents were challenged.
Wow.
All of those towns and villages and cities. And there were eight seats without an incumbent and only one candidate.
Wow.
That was replicated just 2 years ago in the city of Monona. There was a municipal judge vacancy. Nobody chose to run.
That's just incredible. And I think in things have changed since when you and I worked for public service, of the hyper, I'll call it hyper partisanship. And even now people who just run are subject to just very personal attacks, and we need to get more people involved. I think that's a great issue because, as you just pointed out, we have this issue. Doesn't matter whether you're in a rural town or village or whether you're in an urban downtown area being represented. We need more good folks to run. And in order for them to run, we have to engage our young people in what this means.
Right. And don't forget, these were not partisan races.
Correct.
These are all nonpartisan, nominally,
right.
Nonpartisan races.
We'll come back with Eve Galanter, talk more about the Wisconsin Civics Games and how you could get your young person involved. Not going to want to miss it. Stay tuned for the Ag Market Update with Pam Yonke next, right here on the Civic Media Ready Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Hamas has released three more hostages in exchange for hundreds of Palestinian prisoners. Vicky Cohen's son is still being held, and among the remaining hostages is to be released in the next phase of the fragile ceasefire deal.
I hope Benjamin Netanyahu will do the best for all of society and do the second phase. Only in agreement, only in peace, we can solve this problem.
In Germany, Ukrainian President Zelensky says it's time for European nations to create a joint military.
We need confidence in our own strengths so that others have no choice but to respect Europe's power. And without a European army, that is impossible.
Hundreds of Fed workers were let go yesterday.
The layoffs are in addition to a proposed buyout plan offered by the Trump administration, which it says 75,000 workers have accepted.
That's CBS's Willie James Inman. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's Dame time at the All-Star Game. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Damian Lillard represents the Milwaukee Bucks this weekend at the NBA All-Star Game. It's poignant for Lillard, who remembers when his father took him and his brother to the All-Star Game events back in 2000 when the game was played in his hometown of Oakland, California, and he was just 9 years old.
We went to jam session every day. You know, didn't go to school, me and my brother. They had like this three-point competition. So it was just a great week. You know, a lot of memories. Vince Carter won that dunk contest. You know, a lot of my favorite players I grew up watching played in that All-Star game. Great experience. So now to be 25 years later and this being my ninth All-Star game and kind of back in front of that hometown crowd, you know, it's definitely a special moment.
Damian Lillard will compete in the three-point contest. That gets started at 7 o'clock tonight. The All-Star game is tomorrow night. Coverage on TNT. College basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers in Indiana today against number 7th-ranked Purdue. We'll have a recap after the game coming up. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky with scattered flurries for today and a high in the upper 20s. Couple of snow showers tonight, mostly cloudy and colder, a low near 5, and a high only near 10 Sunday, early flurries then clearing. Much colder for the work week next week. Currently it's 17 degrees.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While attacks on democracy norms ensue in Washington, state legislatures have also been busy. We have updates from Utah, Kansas, Indiana, and the contested North Carolina Supreme Court race. Voting Rights Lab reports that the Utah House is considering HB 300, which forces mail-in ballot users to deliver their ballot not by mail, but by hand to an official polling place where an ID can be presented. The elderly, disabled, and other voters for whom returning by mail is their only option would need to seek special permission. HB 332 would withdraw Utah from the Cooperative Electronic Registration Data Center, the subject of far-right conspiracy theories. The Kansas Senate passed SB 4, which requires receipt of mail-in ballots by 7 p.m. Election Day to count, rather than the current 3 days after. An Indiana Senate committee advanced SB 284, shortening early in-person voting from 28 days to 14 days, ending at noon the day before Election Day. The full Senate passed SB 10, ending use of school-issued student identification as ID for voting. In North Carolina, a district court judge dismissed a claim by a state Supreme Court candidate that in a race he lost by 734 votes, as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible. A federal appeals court may revisit it. We've linked the Voting Rights Lab tracker at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Let's rock some local music this weekend on Max Inc. Join us as we welcome Kaylin Cole and Lexi Liu, plus Yanni and Rocker will stop in for a visit. It's Max Inc. Saturday to Sunday evenings at 6 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, do you know about the USA? Do you know about the government? Can you tell me about the Constitution? About the USA.
Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on Thursday, February 13th, 2025. Mr. Zomers, that's an oldie but a goodie. Is that part of Schoolhouse Rock?
Yeah, I couldn't think of anything better to fit the topic than right. Schoolhouse Rock.
No, well done. Well done. Welcome back to the show, Tyler Ball, Aaron Zomers. We are joined this hour by Eve Galanter. She is the founder of the Wisconsin Civics Games, a statewide competition for high school students. As part of her work on the Wisconsin Newspaper Association Foundation Board, she is also the past Wisconsin-Madison director for the office of U.S. Senator Herb Kohl. And that's where she and I met when she was working for Senator Kohl. I was working for Congressman Scott Klug. Another era politically in a lot of ways, right?
And in terms of technology, just right. Think, you know, barely barely being able to communicate with my computer.
True. That's what when I Klug left office in 07, I guess it were, or 08. Oh, nine, I guess that's what, January 09. And we had just got Netscape like the year and a half before. Right. And we had one computer in the Madison office where you could get on the internet.
Right.
But otherwise, we'd get actual, letters on paper from constituents. And you would write letters and you would send it to the agencies in D.C. And then occasionally you'd pick up the phone and call.
Right, right. And and occasionally when constituents would call us and we were working late, I was working late. You were, I'm sure, too. And someone, I picked up the phone and the person said, "Oh, you're not an answering machine." And I said, "No." She said, "Look, I'm really just calling to vent." I said, "Tell you what, I'm going to hang up. You call back. I won't pick up and you just vent for as long as you want." And that was the extent of our telecom.
Right.
You know, that's where we were.
Yeah.
But all those years, more recently, as I was engaging on this journey to what became the Civics Games, I watched on television.
Pull this out just a little bit.
Oh, and Justice Gorsuch and Justice Sotomayor were on some CBS television news program. And Justice Gorsuch disclosed that based on a recent survey he had seen, that 10% of the public believed that TV's Judge Judy served with him on the U.S. Supreme Court.
No.
He said, "What is this about our republic?
Mm-hmm.
What is it about our democracy that we have so many people who are not informed?" When we got to the Civics Games, I actually made a question out of that, which was, you know, describe the process by which Judge Judy became a member of the U.S. Supreme Court or the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Wow.
And the kids could answer it.
Interesting.
They understood. They knew that Judge Judy, first of all, I don't know if they knew who Judge Judy was, but they did understand that there was a different process by which someone became a member of the Supreme Court, either the U.S. or the state Supreme Court.
Absolutely fascinating. Before the break there, you broke down and explained how you came to this. There were a lot of open seats across from town boards to assembly and other thing all across Wisconsin, urban, rural areas. And either people went unchallenged, candidates went unchallenged, or completely vacant. And you thought, we have to do something about this. So how did that lead then to this creation of the Wisconsin Civics Games in association with the Wisconsin Newspaper Association Foundation Board?
I thought, let's give up on adults for a moment. let's go a little further back. Let's talk to our students, our kids, our grandkids, our neighbors' kids, and say, we want you to know more about how government works. We want you to even appreciate how it works and think about the possibility of public service in your future. And I began to think about something similar to the old Civics Bowl that used to be on television where kids would compete. So I came up with let's have Wisconsin Civics Bowl. And the whole basis so predicated on getting our kids to share what they know, and maybe they could teach their parents something about how government worked. So I showed this idea to my oldest grandkid at the time, and she liked the idea. And she said, but I think you should call it the Civics Games.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, the games. She said, you know, like you and I just watched the Hunger Games. And I said, Jazz, they were trying to kill each other. And she said, yeah, but the kids will like it better if you call it the games instead of the bowl. And if the kids like it, the teachers will like it. And so in 2019, I went to the Wisconsin Newspaper Association Foundation Board, described what I wanted to do, and asked them if they would be willing to sponsor it.
Wow.
And I came away from that board meeting, or came to that board meeting thinking, they're going to say, all right, you know, we'll think about it. We'll get back to you. And instead they said, let's do it.
Great.
And beginning in 2019, I the whole concept of high school students competing, but what do you have to do in order to do that? Well, you got to reach out to all the social studies teachers. Mm-hmm. You've got to think about the format. And so we thought. I thought about regional games. You know, all the high schools know all about the WIAA. Those are good regions. And we sent out the information about a team of up to four students, no cost to enter. We would have regional games. We would hold them at UW campuses, give that, each of them a chance to know about each other. And people registered. They liked the idea, but they didn't fall neatly into those little regions. So I did my own gerrymandering and created new regions. We no longer call them regional games. We call them playoffs.
Nice.
For the games, mm-hmm. Where the top teams each year of the then regionals, now playoffs, come to the capital, the state capital, for the finals. But all of this meant somebody had to write about 100 questions, varying in difficulty, moving up, you know, from the very beginning to the playoffs, to the finals. And that did fall on me. I was the volunteer. I said, let's do it. I'm all in.
That's awesome. We're talking to Eve Glanter, founder of the Wisconsin Civics Games, part of the statewide competition for high school students in Wisconsin as part of the Wisconsin Newspapers Association Foundation Board. If you'd like to call in with a question for Eve, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. You can download it for free at your Apple and Android store and just text it in on the line there. Eve, I want to make sure we get this in. How can people get involved and enter a team? And is it too late for this year's competition?
It's not too late. Go to WisconsinCivicsGames.com.
Easy.
And very easy. It says register here. It just requires that we have the names of the students who will be participating and to have an advisor, a teacher, a counselor, a parent. Teams could be not just high school, but it could be homeschooled. As long as there is an advisor linked to the team. A team can be up to four students. We had two students for one of team, and they came in first.
Wow, good for them.
So it's really
and they were
great.
Where, from Denmark, you said?
Well, Denmark was last
year. Wisconsin,
year's,
not the country.
Denmark.
Because Denmark's better than news a lot lately.
Yeah. No, Denmark. And this, no, these students are not attempting to take over Greenland High School. But they are in Denmark, Wisconsin.
Very good.
This is really all nonpartisan. It's not skewed in any way. We have as judges people from all around the state. We have volunteers who are willing to be judges. The deadline for this year is March 1.
Okay, March 1.
March deadline. 1. Mm-hmm. And the actual playoffs will be on April 9 and 10. And they will be virtual. But I wanted to talk, too, about what we've seen happen lately and what's the basis for this lack of engagement,
sure,
or lack of knowledge.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Constitution Day Civics Survey done by the Annenberg Public Policy Center, a renowned organization. Okay. In 2022, 47% was the percentage of Americans that can name all three branches of government.
Wow.
Now, you say wow.
Yeah.
In 2023, it was 34%.
Seriously?
Wow.
Seriously. And the percentage of Americans that cannot name any of the three branches of government was 25%.
That's just sad.
In 2023, it went down to 16%. What, I don't know what accounts for this dramatic change and why more people know less.
Eve, do you think, with all your experience over the years in government and community across Wisconsin, do you think that part of it is just the frustration with the news cycle and Wisconsinites feel, well, I can't do anything about it. I'm just going to tune it off and tune it out and not pay attention, and they choose not to. But you and I both know that's to the detriment, particularly with our local community.
And when people are running for office and say, here's what I'm going to do, the voter needs to know, can that person do that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes it happens that those who get into office do more than we thought they could, but we don't know enough. And the state legislature here in Wisconsin, interested in having kids be more knowledgeable, did mandate that before you can graduate, you must pass the same test as an immigrant would have to take and pass by, I believe it's getting 60% right on that test. For high school students, you can begin taking it and take it until you pass, but there is no mandate for civics education in the schools. And I know there's a lot of debate about that in the legislature right now.
It isn't it fascinating? Again, we've talked, I know, offline about this or in person, but one of the great privileges to me while working for former Congressman Klug, and I would think former Senator Cole, going to these naturalization ceremonies and seeing people who worked their tails off and learned about our country. And many times those new Americans know more about our civics than those of us who were born here.
It is a shame, and part of the problem I know stems from the fact that our teachers in the high schools and in the middle schools throughout the education system have so much to do in the confines.
So many mandates.
So many mandates.
Right? Yeah.
Do we really want to require again? But can it be a new mandate?
Right.
But without that, what are we going to do in the future? Yeah. For our democracy.
Talking with Eve Glanter, the founder of the Wisconsin Civics Games. You can find out more about those at wisconsincivicgames.com. Mark in Prentice-Tack has texted in and said, a few years ago, I ran across a hardcover school book from the late 1940s titled Wisconsin Civics. If memory serves, it was actually published in Wisconsin. Wow. I mean, there was a...
Mark, I'm going to go find that.
But I remember my grandparents and even my parents talking about having civics classes. I graduated in 1988. I had social studies classes. I quote one of my social studies teachers, Ken Lewis, all the time on this show, but I don't ever remember having a civics proper class.
Correct. Correct.
So it's
and
changed.
I went to school a little bit before you, and I remember we had a civics as a part of my social studies in fifth grade, and our teacher took an 8.5 by 11 sheet, cut it into four pieces, and said, you write your answers succinctly on this square of paper.
That's fantastic. Eve Glanter, founder of the Wisconsin Civics Games, will come back and quiz your knowledge, my knowledge of civics on the other side. It's the Todd Lawball Show for a Thursday on the Civics Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Believe it or not, it is once again time for Wisconsinites to head to the polls and vote. I know, we all have a bit of election fatigue after 2024, but the spring election primary is coming up on Tuesday, February 18th. One race that will be on every ballot statewide for the spring primary is for state superintendent. Incumbent Jill Underley is seeking another term, and two candidates are challenging her. Jeff Wright, superintendent for Sauk Prairie Schools, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant and former charter school executive. Kinzer's candidacy, in particular, is gaining steam. Her campaign reported raising more than $500,000, far more than what Underley or Wright have brought in. With that type of financial support, this could prove to be a more competitive race for state superintendent than what we've seen in quite some time. This is becoming a real race to watch.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Lovall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 9 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC and CBS News, depending upon which station you're listening to across all 11 Civic Media stations in the state of Wisconsin. And then a little sports and weather update. We'll be back in hour two then with another edition of What's Worse? Things that are stinky. Is the subject of the lesser important questions of the day. Right now, we are talking about the more important questions, such as civics, with our guest this hour, Eve Galanter, former Wisconsin director for the office of U.S. Senator Herb Kohl here in Madison. More recently, among her many accomplishments, the founder of the Wisconsin Civics Games, a statewide competition for high school students, as part of her work on the Wisconsin Newspapers Association Foundation Board. And this is fantastic. You could go to WisconsinCivicsGames.com, WisconsinCivicsGames.com. The state finals are May 2nd. The playoff round is April 9th and 10th. Your young person, is it only in high school age, Eve?
Only high school for this element of it. Next spring, I'll come on and talk about the editorial writing and cartoon contest.
All right. So for this, it's high school students only, and it could be a public high school, a private high school, a homeschooling situation. You have to have an adult who is an advisor. The deadline to enter your team, up to four individuals, is coming up on March 1st. So go to Wisconsin Civics with an S, WisconsinCivicsGames.com. To enter on there. It's very, very simple. And Eve Galanter, our guest, you said that the kids get to be on television courtesy of Wisconsin Eye.
Wisconsin Eye, it's broadcast so that their classmates back in Rice Lake or Platteville or Denmark get to watch them live, their parents. We actually had a visiting student from Germany.
Oh, wow.
Who was on a team from her with her high school, and her parents in Germany got to watch her on Wisconsin Eye in the finals of the Wisconsin
awesome.
Civics Games. Now, you just had your lead-in music was all about freedom.
Yes, George
okay,
Michael.
Okay, I've got a question for you.
Give it to me.
You or anyone listening. What are the five freedoms identified in the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution?
Wow.
You have 10 seconds.
Good Lord. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to peaceably assemble, freedom organizing, of demonstration. I don't know. I don't, nicely done the
Thank
buzzer.
You.
Nicely done, Summers. How many did I get?
Well, you repeated one, said it differently.
All right.
So you have the press,
freedom
of religion, freedom of speech, right to petition.
Petition, that's right.
And the right to assemble.
Right to assemble. All right. And I didn't say it right. But
during the games, you would have a buzzer in front of you, just like, and you would buzz in. And if
like
you,
Jeopardy or something.
Like,
yeah.
And you would be given up to 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. So you had to know before you buzz in. If you buzz in and you're sitting there like, or if you buzz in too soon because perhaps the question had more than one element to it. It would be, name this and you wouldn't know and then you would get it wrong and then it would be repeated in full for the opposing team.
Wow. All right, give me another one.
Okay.
Here we go. Quizzing Todd for the Wisconsin Civics Games. You can register your team at WisconsinCivicsGames.com.
Okay. In 1982, Wisconsin was the first state to outlaw what type of discrimination?
It was signed into law by former Governor Lee Sherman Dreyfus to outlaw discrimination based on sexual origin.
Fix that last word.
Sexual orientation?
Thank you.
Said origin. Oh, sorry. Yes.
One point.
A hitherto unknown fact. I mean, again, how times have changed, right? Yep. It was signed by Republican Lee Sherman Dreyfus, signed it into law. It was a Democratic legislature and passed it. All right. Dave Clarenbach was a big part of that. But go ahead.
Right. I'll try one more. Right. Maybe one of your listeners knows this. In Wisconsin, the governor has the exclusive power to grant pardons. Name three of the rights that are restored as a result of a gubernatorial pardon.
Right to have a firearm to hunt, right to vote, and right to, boy, I don't know the third one. Where's my
right to own a gun, right to vote, right to serve on a jury, hold public office, and the right to hold a professional license.
Oh, I didn't know
I would
that.
Not have gotten
the
any
professional
of those.
License, yeah. Interesting.
Professional license, which means employment opportunities. Right.
But see, this is what's so great about this, Eve, is that this reminds us of the rights. And this doesn't matter who you voted for in November. All Wisconsinites have these rights. And for those young people or any of us who are going to run for office, we should know this. I should know this better so that if we know our rights regardless, I think that is a unifying thing. It is nonpartisan. And this is such a great program. About a minute left, or under a minute here. Anything in the last 30 seconds I didn't ask you, you want to make sure people know?
I want to make sure that people understand that it's so important that our kids know so much more than too many of the adults who are able to vote. Mm-hmm. And that for many of the high school students, by the way, each member of the winning team gets a $2,000 scholarship to a Wisconsin college or university.
Wow.
Put that in your pocket, too.
$2,000 if you win this. You can enter at WisconsinCivicsGames.com. Eve Glanter, thank you so very much. We'll have you back soon.
Thank you.
Come on back. Hour number two on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Earl Ingram.
We'll be driving to a significant moment in American history with a special Black History lesson featuring guest historian Professor Bob Harvey. Later in the show, we'll also welcome Reggie Jackson.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me.
From civil rights to business.
Food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is why I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats don't get.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn. A fragile ceasefire deal appears to be holding, with Hamas releasing three more hostages this morning. Applause broke out in Tel Aviv when they were freed. Vicky Cohen's son is still being held captive.
I'm excited for the three hostages back home today, but I'm also very worried.
Worried about what happens next, CBS's Robert Berger is in Jerusalem.
Phase two is a big question. Negotiations are only just beginning. That's supposed to resolve difficult issues like the complete end of the war and the release of the remaining hostages. And there's a lot of concern that this second phase won't go through, both because of Israeli reluctance and Hamas reluctance.
President Trump posting on Truth Social this morning that Israel will now have to decide what they'll do about the 12 noon deadline today imposed on the release of all hostages. Vice President J.D. Vance's remarks in Germany yesterday aren't sitting too well with European leaders.
In Britain and across Europe, free speech, I fear, is in retreat.
Correspondent Elizabeth Palmer is in Munich.
This morning on this side of the Atlantic, the papers are calling his keynote address here in Munich vengeful, preachy, unkind. They're saying that it really serves to deepen the rift between the United States and some of its oldest, staunchest allies.
The Justice Department is dropping corruption charges against Eric Adams so the New York City mayor can assist the Trump administration with its immigration plans. Former federal prosecutor Tom Dupree says it's
reminiscent of the Nixon era, where you saw the president basically try to find someone who would carry out his orders in the Justice Department and had to go through several officials before he finally was able to find someone who would carry it out.
Stressful and uncertain times for Fed workers after hundreds were given the pink slip yesterday. CBS's Willie James Inman reports.
More layoffs could be on the way. The Office of Personnel Management has notified government agencies that they have until Tuesday, 8 p.m., to compile all of the numbers of the employees affected by the layoffs.
A New York doctor is facing criminal charges for sending abortion medications to a woman in Louisiana where abortions are banned. CBS's Jerika Duncan talked with New York Governor Kathy Hochul about the case.
Governor Hochul said that she cannot protect Dr. Carpenter if she leaves the state. So this is a situation where the governor says as long as she's here, she has my support. But if she steps outside, she very well could find herself in a situation where she has to go answer those charges in Louisiana.
The doctor is dealing with some criminal charges as well in Texas. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest?